when moms are like, I'm a failure, is because that's coming from a place of dysregulation. It's not as much about how many dishes are in the sink or how big the laundry pile is, because when mom is regulated in a healthy place, those piles don't feel as overwhelming and she feels more confident in her ability to handle them.
Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, everyone. You made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today, we get to talk with an amazing content creator specific for mothers with ADHD. Her name is Amy Han, and she is the creator of Master the Mundane. You can find her on Instagram at @ActivatedADHDMama. And I'm so happy for her to share with us the 4 mistakes that moms with ADHD make. And I know the value that she's going to bring is insane. I watch her all the time on Instagram, and it's actually been years that we've been watching each other, and I'm so happy to finally connect and have her bring all the value, especially to our mamas out there. Welcome so much, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about, maybe we'll start with like your ADHD journey briefly, and then we can get into all the goods.
Great. Yes. So I hope for the day that I don't have to provide this caveat, but I always give the caveat that I'm one of those unique women who was diagnosed as a child. So I was diagnosed when I was 5 or 6 in the mid 80s, but I had no idea the emotional impact, any of that part. So I was medicated at a young age, and which I'm extremely thankful for. But definitely, you know, at each life stage went through big revelations with my ADHD, you know, in my early 20s, you know, went through a big, when I had to start adulting and all that stuff, went to counseling and worked with psychiatrists and found the right meds and began to understand and own my ADHD more. But for me specifically, after having my 3rd child was when it was like, got real.
Yeah.
I'd had focus issues, but I hadn't really had executive function issues like I did until I had that 3rd kid. Just the demand placed on me, it was so much that it kind of all changed, as well as, you know, when my 3rd child was born, my oldest was 8. And so his journey with ADHD, you know, was trying to unpack and understand that for him. So I think it was both things, having my 3rd kid and then also parenting ADHD kids and understanding, navigating for them was just a whole other ballgame.
Yeah. The triggering of our own triggers and regulating ourselves while they're dysregulated. And yeah, that's a whole thing, isn't it? How old you were when you had your 3rd kid?
Yes. I should do it off the top of my head. I was 39.
Yeah.
So the hormones too.
Yeah. That's
all happening at the same time.
I just want to highlight that because so many of my listeners are right there. I'm turning 40 this year and I had my baby at just barely 39. No, 38. Either way. So it does. It shifts specifically at that time. So yes to all the all the extra things placed upon us, responsibilities. But in addition to that, wow, when our hormones change, it really impacts the clarity that our mind does not have.
Huge, huge. And I just realized I needed, you know, I'd had decent self-care practices, but it was not as necessary as it became.
You can't hack it the same.
Learning to live that way. So that was a big game changer for me. And then also from, you know, how I got to, you know, really talking about the home management stuff is it's that part piece of it was just so draining. And I was a work at home mom. I've been, you know, doing some kind of side hustle for the last 10 years and trying to figure out what that looked like. But then managing all of the things with the 3 kids, it was like all of a sudden it just all became so heavy. And the more when I've talked to you, I realized I'm not alone in that. And as I kind of navigated my way through finding systems that work for me and trying to understand how my ADHD how my challenges with my home life were connected to my ADHD. It kind of changed everything for me. And I realized that some of these things that I was learning and applying were really applicable to a lot of other women. And so I started sharing them.
Yeah. I'm so excited to jump into this. I'm going to like constrain all of my desire to like hop into this convo with you, because I know that you have some great things that you've prepared for this podcast. And it's important to me that people hear what you've taken a great deal of time to think about. And then, we'll interject and talk a little bit about it. So tell me a little bit more about these four mistakes that moms with ADHD make. You gave us a little background about it. But let's just go ahead and hop into it.
Yes. Well, like any good ADHDer, distilling my thoughts down to a few bullet points is a challenge. So I have done my best to, I could talk all day about this, because I think there are so many women who, and as I really dialogue with women, the thing that so many women say is this word failure. Yeah. They feel like a failure in managing their home. And there's this huge amount of shame. And so this is just kind of my story, because I think for so many of us, like for me, you know, I thought being a stay-at-home mom, like there are all these concerns I had with career. And then I thought, once I became a mom, I thought that would be the easy thing, because I love my kids so much. And that realizing,
so sweet to think that
yeah, that like, wow, this is not easy.
Mm-mm.
And all of these things, all of like understanding what it means to do boring things and not understanding what executive functioning was. And so, and I think the biggest thing why we have that huge sense of failure is because it's something that we care so deeply about, you know, that's totally. Something that we don't want to fail at, because it's something that it deeply, deeply matters. Yeah. And we care, we want to be great moms. I think everyone wants to be a great mom. And when I say managing their home, I think managing our home is so much more than just laundry and dishes and cleanliness. And that's part of it. And I think we tie so much of our self-worth to that part, but I think it's especially when you're raising a neurodivergent family, it's such a bigger umbrella. So that's the thing I'm talking about, why we feel this sense of failure and how do we get there and how do we get out of that? And so the four mistakes that moms with ADHD make in managing their home life, this is kind of, I'm going to pack it. So the first one is really punishing yourself for your executive functioning ADHD challenges. And I think part of this stems from not really understanding what executive functioning is, because the reality is motherhood requires a lot of executive functioning, planning, time management, emotional management, prioritizing, project management, all these things we have to remember, you know, working memory, all these things that we have to do in a day. You know, you just think, if you understand that ADHD brains, it is a neurological condition in the prefrontal cortex that impacts our executive functioning. It's not that we are incapable of doing anything that requires executive functioning, but we are limited in our capacity. And when the subject area is boring and uninteresting, it's especially hard. So when you think of all of the things that we have to do in a day, especially if you have multiple kids, just getting everybody in the car at 9 a.m. for school, like how many things you have to remember and how many jokes, there is a lot of executive functioning. And so what happens, so if you have ADHD, that is uniquely hard. And so what happens is we tend to punish ourselves for those challenges. You know, a lot of it stems from being ADHD your whole life. And there's this shame piece.
Yeah.
And thinking these are character flaws, when in reality, when you can step back and understand that these functions are challenging for us, you can create workarounds. The second piece of that is, we punish ourselves in, this is an example that I love to use. So we think, okay, well, I can't, you know, once I get a handle on the laundry situation, you know, because I have this huge laundry pile, I'm going to, you know, once I do that, then I will start going to the gym. or then I will, you know, take this art class that I've been wanting to take, or, you know, this curiosity that I've been wanting to pursue. But in reality, what happens is we end up like numbing it away, like watching a show on Netflix or scrolling or doing something that's not really satisfying, but mm-hmm. doesn't help us do the boring thing anyways. So the boring thing still doesn't get done, but we don't pursue the things that are really interesting and stimulating to us. So because we're blaming ourselves and thinking, well, we should be able to do that. We should be able to do the boring thing all by ourselves, instead of really understanding how a interest-driven brain works and how executive functioning works. And so we never really make progress. And then we just keep beating ourselves up because we think we should have been able to do it. And it's a lot like taking an ADHD kid and taking away recess, because you take away this thing that they really needed to be able to behave in a classroom, but you take it away as a punishment, but they end up, they needed that.
It's so, actually requisite.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
it's not the reward. It is a requirement.
Exactly. Absolutely. Mm. So we have to understand that about ourselves and design our lives in a way where we're getting the stimulation and the self-care that we need because our brains require it. So that's mistake number one.
Yeah. This is so good. As soon as I love how you said like the boring tasks. I remember talking to my very first coach about like, why can't I just sit down and play Barbies with my kids? Like, I'm a terrible mom, right? Like, why can't I do that? They want me to do that. And the word understimulated, like it's so understimulating for me, was so like unlocked, like all that compassion for myself. Anyway, the understimulation was more biological, like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so then there was nowhere to put the blame except for this is how my body works mm-hmm. and, or doesn't work, or, you know, is interested or not interested. So I just can totally relate with that point on a personal note. Okay. Number two.
Okay. Number two is having unrealistic expectations for our time and our energy. And this has a few implications. So first off, these unrealistic expectations stem from those executive functioning challenges. So for two reasons. First, prioritization is part of executive functioning. Time management is part of executive functioning. So we have the thing that's amazing about our brains is we walk into a room and we see all these things. Like I know for me in my house, and I know you kind of like decor and decorate and stuff, I think of all these projects that I want to do. Yeah. And so I can this list of all these things I want to do. I'm like, it's like 10 DIY projects. I need to unload the, you know, redo the kids' closet, you know, all these crazy to-do list of things, and it all feels important. And because of our brain struggle with time management, we think we can do more than we can actually do in 24 hours. So our expectations are realistic and unrealistic, and that stems from our brains. And part of it is what makes us these amazing visionary thinkers, is because we see all the possibility and we see all these things that can be done, and it's really awesome. But we also have to create some constraints and find ways to really better understand our capacity, so that we understand, you know, we aren't living in burnout, because we tend to. This leads to two things. We, you know, then do too much. And then also, you know, it never feels like enough. We never feel that sense of satisfaction because we're like, we had 50 things on our to-do list. So even if we do have the energy to do five really impactful things, and we were way more productive than someone else, we still feel bad and feel like we didn't do enough. It never feels like enough because we don't have a realistic idea of what we should be able to accomplish.
Hey, busy brains. Are you seeking more mindfulness and focus in your life? Introducing Mindful, my exclusive group coaching program designed just for you. Whether you're struggling with ADHD or you simply want to cultivate a calmer mind, Mindful is here to support you. You can join a community of like-minded individuals from all around the globe, and together we'll embark on a transformative journey. Come, gain a deeper understanding of yourself, find more inner peace,
and tap into boundless possibilities within you. Visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful to learn more and join our waitlist today. I cannot wait to start coaching you right around the corner. See you then. Now back to the show.
It's that feeling of always feeling behind.
Uh-huh. Like, it's never enough.
And yeah. Yep.
And part of that is also because our working memory, because we legit forget.
We forget what we did. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And then the second piece of that with the unrealistic expectations is not leaving room for low energy days, like not understanding that our energy ebbs and flows. And so
yes,
when you have those unrealistic expectations and you're trying to do so, so much, the ebb and flow is going to be even more dramatic because you're going to just be exhausted on those high energy days. You're going to push it so hard, then you're going to just be so drained. So part of it is being able to, you know, provide more time for rest, like provide more time for self-care, not trying to like be this crazy workhorse. And then also realizing that still you're going to have low energy days. And so we have to plan for that. And I think planning for that by both giving ourselves grace, but then also creating tools for ourselves on low energy days, realizing that some days we're going to wake up and we're like not going to remember what time anyone needs to be anywhere. And like, what do I do now? Like, I totally forget. Like I can, no matter how, like my routines are very consistent and still some days they wake up and I'm like, how is it 9 o'clock? Like, tonight? I don't, you know, we have to have tools to help us on those low energy days.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy that you paired that together. That resonates here on the podcast. We talk about them as beach days and mountain peak days. Mm-hmm. You know, some days we just got to lay out on the beach. Other days, like we have energy to go to the mountains, and both are valid. Both are worthy. And we can expect, just like you said, that they will show up. And I love this. Like the word like poisonous positivity toward my to-do list, like it is not healthy. You know, it poisons my expectation. Like what you're saying, when I have too many things, and this is so relatable for the ADHD brain. And then, like you just said, the energy that we don't know if we're going to have or not, and the way that we push ourselves in hyperfocus and all of those things. This is fantastic. Okay. Number three.
Okay. You're going to love this one. Thinking that we are neurotypical families raising neurotypical kids, because, you know, and I think it is a very natural, normal thing that I think all moms that are neurodivergent, raising neurodivergent kids go through this, you know, some kind of mourning period of just realizing that you do things differently. But I think, you know, on the other side of that is just a real beauty of like really being able to accept and embrace the limitations of your family. And, but the reality is our kids have, I mean, we have, my self-care sometimes feels like a full-time job, but, you know, also making space for the needs of my family. Like just today I have, yesterday, I felt like the last 24 hours I've been looking for kids' school clothes. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he's not going to like the way those pants fit. Those socks look itchy. That's, you know, I'm like, I feel like I was on every site. I'm like, yeah, you know, looking for the comfortable shorts and, you know, all of those things. So anyway, the clothes, the sleep issues, the, you know, particular eaters, the getting my kids enough exercise, like all there are things that I deal with as a family, as a parent, that other parents don't deal with. And not only do I need to make space for that in my life, but also just, you know, understanding the emotional aspect of it. Because if I get to 5 p.m. and my tank is empty, it is going to be a recipe for disaster, because my kids are going to need, they need me to be positive. They need me to be able to write. They need me to be regulated and have done the self-care that I need, because I need to be able to take care of them. So being able to plan for those things in our life, you know, and budget energy and time to those things. And then also really let go of comparing ourselves to other families. I read somewhere recently, I think it was an Attitude, where it was like, I don't know whether it was 3 or 4 times that families of ADHD kids spend 3 to 4 times as much money on raising their kids.
I don't doubt that. I was literally sitting here.
Yeah.
I was sitting here thinking about that because this is the one that, like, I can feel the tears behind my eyes. You're like, you're going to love this one. I'm like, all right, shoot, go for it, Amy. And like, you are, you're hitting my heartstrings right now, because I think this is also the behind closed doors, what we don't really understand about neurodivergent families as well, that people, you know, they don't take into account having to look for the right pair of socks. Mm-hmm. Like, people just go and they pick them off the shelf, you know, and then the part on the toe is hitting wrong. And so then they have to wear them inside out, or, you know, like, there's just,
it's like a tantrum literally every single day. And you're like, why are you so cranky? And you're like, well,
so then you end up buying like six different pairs of socks until you can find the right one. And then you also said, like, getting them exercise. And for our family, that means like the structure of me paying for lessons, because, and it doesn't have to be that, but there's some kind of structure that they like, that's like planned and consistent. And I can't always rely upon my own ADHD to be as consistent and specific. Some things I can, but when I know I'm paying for a lesson, we're going to show up, you know, there's the likelihood increases. And so I think in some ways, it's so interesting that you brought that up. Like, it's not, I didn't know that. But as you're saying it, I'm thinking like, yeah, that's why I do that. Yeah. That's why I invest in that. Yeah. That's why I work to help, you know, my family with this. And it's not in the ways that maybe some people think, like, yes, therapy, yes, coaching, yes, mm-hmm. things like that. But we're talking about like just the basics of trying to keep some structure and moving things forward. This number three, I don't know. Number three might be my favorite so far.
Well, and you think, you know, it's the mental energy, because I think it's so much about like,
oh my gosh,
because I mean, the reality is there's so many, you know, we started at the beginning, number one, like talking about executive functioning, there's so many boring things that we can expect of ourselves. So we can't, it's unrealistic if you're giving all these energies, things which really do matter and which really are important. And if you are neglecting them, you might have a clean house, but if your kids are, you know, like, and so much of it, I think when moms are like, I'm a failure, it's because of the emotions. It's because that's coming from a place of dysregulation. Mm-hmm. And when mom is dysregulated, it's not as much about how many dishes are in the sink or how big the laundry pile is, because when mom is regulated and in a healthy place, then she is able to care, you know, help her kids be regulated. And those piles don't feel as overwhelming, and she feels good. More confident in her ability to handle them. So, yeah, good. So that's where it comes from. Okay. And then the last piece, which is very important, and I think was the hardest one for me to really learn. And I think this is really, for me, as an entrepreneur, I realized how important this was as well. Is this number four, is that we struggle with self-trust. And then we mm-hmm. blame ourselves when yes. life happens. And so it is normal, because you know, if you just always think, oh, it was my fault, instead of realizing, okay, I have these executive functioning challenges. So, you know, I talk a lot within, you know, our community about like when life happens, like how we adjust when life happens, because life is going to happen. You know, kids are going to get sick. There are going to be snow days and school's going to be canceled for a week, or where I live in Florida. So we're going to have a hurricane day, and we're going to, you know, things, you know, I remember went through the stomach flu, and literally I had like completely cleaned my house. And then it was like vomit in like every single bed. So it was, you know, things like this happen where it's like, and then life, you know, or vacation, like things happen. And even when you're in a routine, it's going to happen. And so you have to reset. But what happens is so many of us, you know, I talk to women and they're like, I've tried everything. I've tried, you know, every system, and I can't make myself stick to it. Because what happens is when life happens, they blame themselves instead of realizing, well, life happened. Life happens to everyone. That system was working for me.
Right.
I'm going to go back to that system instead of thinking I'm going to give myself a second to pull my life back together and then get back at it, because I found a system that worked for me and I'm going to go back to it. Instead, what we do is we blame ourselves and then we have a pity party, and then we completely reinvent the wheel and spend even more energy trying to find this new system or way of doing life instead of just really going back to a simple system.
So the fact that things didn't go as planned for a week or so, what I hear you say is that we almost make that mean that it was a failure instead of just being part of the insecurity of life, you know, the unpredictability of life.
Yes. And part of it, we also have to have margin knowing that life's going to happen. And I think a lot of, you know, one of the, when you don't have room or there's, I try to avoid using very super scientific words. I like understanding.
Just go for it.
But like burnout, you know, if you're like in a state of burnout or if you're in like, in that like fight or flight stance place, you have very little room for when life happens. So it makes it really hard to rebound.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, it's happened that, you know, we can, if you are regulated and have a routine that works for your family, that isn't, you know, just that you're on that verge of burnout all the time.
Your capacity still has some,
you have some time to wiggle room. And even though you're going to have those high stress moments, but you know, you're always kind of, you're in a place where you can be more of an observer and learn, okay, this didn't go perfectly. Like we just got back from vacation. And so I'm, you know, we probably had our best vacation ever, but still as an observer, I mean, we've still been exhausted all week.
Yeah.
Rebounding from that. So I'm still rebounding. My house, you know, still has some recovery to do, but then I can be an observer and like notice some things I want to change next time we go on vacation. So it gives you some space to, you know, to be an observer, but also realizing that it's not that I can learn and change. And it's not, I'm not a failure because life happened and I can adapt and I can learn. And, but the whole self-trust piece is, you know, we don't trust ourselves. So we have this idea because so many of the things that I help moms with is just really trusting their ideas and sticking with them because we have these ideas because you know your family best. I don't teach moms how to run their families exactly how I run my family because their families are different. I help them listen to their intuition in caring for their kids and like taking into account everyone in their home's unique needs because it matters. But then really trusting that and really having the confidence to stick to it because you know your family instead of feeling like, well, that was just a bad idea. Or I, you know, the thing like it's just this idea of like, I can't change. I'm a failure. I'm a mess. I can't stick to anything. And I think part of that comes from just the, you know, how you define consistency. Because if I can't stick to it every single time, then it was a failure instead of reality. It's like, well, no, life happened.
Yeah.
You're not trying to be a slave to this system or a slave to like having, doing everything the perfect way. It's, you know, is life functioning? Is your family happy? Are you, you know, are you at a place where you don't have this crazy stress level and life feels chaotic every night trying to figure out what's for dinner? Like that, we want to get out of that place where you feel confident.
Yeah, your system should serve you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you don't serve the system. The system is there to support you. And when it's getting in the way of your joy, like you're saying, when the system itself becomes the roadblock, then to your point of you not knowing what my family needs, you know, like I don't need you to put a roadblock in my way, but you, it sounds like, empower your clients and in your community to, like you said, trust that they have the solutions and that they can come up with that. And it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complex. It just has to be aligned, right?
Yes. Well, and I think trusting that's that. What so many of us do is we overcomplicate it. We think of these like crazy complicated systems because we're trying to solve problems because our brains like solving problems, but then we're trying to change everything at once. So we have to kind of
really
keep
good
it
point.
Simple.
Yeah. I love that, Amy. Like I've had people, you know, I share some of my systems online as well. And people are like, can I have that? And I hesitated for years sharing those because I'm like, this is my system for my house, like how my house is like set up and like what's important to my family. And, I could give this to you, but please don't use this as your like end all, because it's not going to make any sense. You got to figure out what your values are in your family. What, what's important to you. Baseboards right now in my life are just not as important, and they might be really important to you. So that's not going to be on my chores list. You know, it makes a big difference for us to trust that we know what's best, not what our mother-in-law thinks, not what society tells us, not what we were even raised with. So I want to drive home and second, you know, give an amen to what you just said, because it will cause more drama and chaos when we try and even among neurodivergence, when we try and copy each other's systems.
Absolutely. And that's what, so I have a program, it's called Master the Mundane, and people are always, once they start in the process of realizing like what they're learning and the transformation, because it's not me saying, this is exactly how you clean your house. It's I'm helping you develop a framework of what's realistic, like how many things you can expect. Yes. How many things you can expect of yourself. And for most women, that it's lightening the load. Like I'm telling them, focus on fewer things and focus on getting the self-care and the stimulation that you need at first, because we want to focus on building self-trust that you can stick to something instead of creating this super complicated thing that you can't stick to. And then we build from there, but it has to be based on your values and your needs. And, you know, different families are different, different spouses are different. I don't struggle. Like for me, I'm better with clutter. Like my husband is hard. He really struggles with that. And then some families, the husbands, you know, really want that's an element of it too. You have to kind of figure out what is the right, what clean and tidy feels
looks
for your
like
family.
In your house. Oh, I just love it. It's exciting. So tell us a little bit more about this community. Tell us what people can expect from it. I know that you also have a course. Let us in, give us a sneak peek.
Yes.
Like.
Okay. So I have a course, and then, so there's a course that's standalone, and then a membership that really is designed to go alongside it. So the course is really self-paced. You get lifetime access to it. So it's videos, and then I have a ton of Canva templates. And like you said, like with your tools, my hope is that people take the tools and then really make them their own, because I believe that as ADHDers, we need that creative element, makes it so much more fun. You know, I want you to take the colors, make it yours, make it for your family, use the right words that align with your values. And anyway, so I have a ton of Canva templates and then videos where I like really walk you through designing a life that you can realistically manage based on the needs of your family. So it's kind of a step-by-step process where we start by really understanding your brain and then really focusing on energy. I talk a lot about not just time management, but really
so important. Good.
So what a lot of women are finding is that it's really helping them communicate their needs to their spouse. Cause I think that's a really big struggle, with a lot of women of trying to explain that. So there's a self-paced course, and then there's also a community element that you can choose to add, where I have a live weekly call, and which is just such a fun, awesome thing. You can submit questions, you can watch the replay if you're not able to join live. And then I've also built out like challenges where, you know, so with each part of the course, if you're doing alongside the course, you can, you know, share your progress and get encouragement and accountability along the way. And then I'm adding some different elements like virtual book club and things like that. So really the biggest takeaway that women have had from my program is just feeling not alone. And I really felt like it was important to have a space where women could verbally process some of these things, because I think a lot of times you just need to get it out, you know, say it out loud. And then I actually prefer typing things out. So I wanted you to have people to have both.
Awesome.
So that's what it looks like.
Sounds incredible. And the course is evergreen. So it's up. They can purchase now. It's not, you know, and then your community, they can hop in at whatever point they purchase the course and get to know the people and that community element, it sounds like, as well.
Yes. Everything is just go at your own pace. And then with the weekly call, it's really just a free-for-all. In terms of what people
open format
want to talk about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just, sometimes we talk about vacations, or we talk about, and it's really, those calls are the best, because just hearing what people are going through, and it's not just me coaching everyone, you know, other people share their experiences and things that have helped them. And it's just a really special time.
Well, I found that that's how ADHDers learn best, is by listening to stories and by sharing, like you're saying, talking it out, but also listening in an informal, like listening behind the words. I think ADHDers are incredible at learning the lesson behind the words and not like a lecture format. So it sounds like it's also set up very ADHD friendly, which is really fun. It's awesome. Well, tell us one more time where they can go. I'll put definitely your website in the show notes here. But what is the website they can go to find your awesome offers?
Yes. So my website is www.amymariehan.com. And then the course is /master the mundane. But I know you're going to put a link here.
Yeah, I will.
And then you can always find me on Instagram at @activatedADHDmama.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for coming. Thanks for being so prepared and sharing with us your wisdom and your insights and what you have distilled down that we have not. Everything resonated beautifully, and I know everyone's going to be able to have at least one or two incredible take homes for them to feel more powerful and more in charge and more regulated in their motherhood. So thank you again for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at the Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.